Ian Trottier here in Anaheim, Southern California, for a great weekend with Clay Clark. Clay Clark presents Reopen America Tour. Now, this is the second time I've been with Clay Clark and his movement in the past few months as I was recording from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So this is a discussion of truth now, and my guest is Bishop Daniel Luis Navejas, who runs an organization called Abortion Free States. Daniel, take it from there. Introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Absolutely. So again, my name is Daniel Navejas. I pastor a church in North Oklahoma City in the Edmond area. And we've been working on this mission for quite some time to actually end abortion. And so throughout the nation, you have tons of what we call pro-life establishment organizations that are huge into fundraising. They like to do fundraisers. They like to put media propaganda out there saying we're advancing the goals, we're moving forward. But the fact of the matter is these organizations are not focused on ending abortion at all. They simply want to regulate it and incrementally chip away at it because, in short, the day that abortion becomes abolished, so do their paychecks, and they know this. And so there are multiple reasons. The money is a big reason, just the same way we talk about the pharmaceutical industry. They're not interested in finding cures for cancer or healing anything. They just want to treat symptoms. Well, the pro-life establishment is exactly the same. They don't want to end abortion. They just want to incrementally slow it down.
Interesting. So they want to slow abortion down. And what is one of the main purposes for doing that? And this is what I'm inserting here, is that fecal tissue and other agents from an aborted fetus. Are used in various treatments, medical treatments, healthcare treatments, is, you know, without getting technical, but this is kind of, you know, the he say, she say of some of this research that pops up out there, and it kind of startles and alarms, and the average American like myself says, whoa, that can't be true.
Right.
But maybe you can help listeners understand that a little bit better. Is there truth behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's major truth behind it. And we have to recognize this, that the issue of abortion is not a political issue. It's actually a biblical issue. It's a spiritual issue. If we go back in the Old Testament, we find actually worship to Molech. These people would actually come and sacrifice their children for the purpose of having a better life, for the purpose of prosperity. So again, when you talk to people, why are you having an abortion? We're doing it because we want a better life, we want prosperity. So we're literally repeating history. But what also happens is you also have people that thrive off the shedding of innocent blood. So literally in New York City, you have the Satanic Church who has filed a lawsuit saying, hey, we don't want any bills that infringe on our right to have abortions because this is our ritual practice. This is where we gain power. This is where we gain authority from. So you have the Satanists on the left hand over here saying openly, this is how we worship Satan. And so this is it's a spiritual issue. It's not a political issue. There's so much happening to this. But you do. You have industries that are harvesting these fetal parts. The problem with this is we begin to talk about, because the problem is we've been told there's only two sides of this coin. Literally, the two different sides of the same coin. And so, for example, in Oklahoma recently, we just passed a bill that said an abortion clinic cannot receive any federal, county, or municipal money if they traffic fetal parts. So, which would sound good. This is a great idea.
Yeah, sounds good. Thing.
But then you ask the question, do any abortion clinics in Oklahoma receive federal, municipal, or county funds? And the answer is no. So why do we write a bill to say we're not going to give you any money when we're not giving you any money now? Well, it's political. We want to go say, hey guys, look at the pro-life bill that we passed. Doesn't this look great? And everyone goes, oh, this is wonderful. Let's keep voting for these guys. So the same thing. So literally, we keep going through the same cycle over and over and over again. You know, for example, almost every pro-life bill that you're going to find is going to make exemptions for rape, exemptions for incest, exemptions for health of the mother. Now, health of the mother, that could be a high blood pressure. That could be I'm not feeling good, I'm feeling nauseous. It could be I'm feeling suicidal. So literally, with those three exemptions, anybody can have an abortion. But we just keep passing these bills over and over again. So what we do is we talk about the abolition of abortion. And what we do is we draw a correlation between the slavery of the 1800s.
Yeah.
And so what happened, 1857, the Supreme Court ruled that blacks were three-fifths human. Okay? You're only three-fifths of human. This is our Supreme Court, 1857. And they said, therefore, you can be bought, sold, traded, bartered, beaten without limitation because you're not really human. Wisconsin.
How did they define black? Did they make a definition of what black was?
At the time, no. These were just black, you know, individuals that were slaves. And okay. So, you know, many of them have different markings on them to identify them as a slave. So what happened is Wisconsin was the first state in the union to say, no, all human beings are created in the image of God. And if you can make it within our borders, you will be free. They literally defied the Supreme Court. They defied the federal agents that were there.
What state was this again?
This was Wisconsin. So this actually gave birth to the Underground Railroad, which most people are familiar with. So Wisconsin gave birth to other states. Other states, Underground Railroad, fast forward through time, we see the abolition of slavery. 1973, the Supreme Court rules again in the favor of the dehumanization of humans, saying a baby's not 100% a human. So you can...
Preborn baby.
Yeah. So a baby in the womb can be chopped up. It can be scalded with acid. It can be crushed. It can be ripped apart because it's not really a human. So here we've had now 48 years of this unconstitutional, unjust law. 77 million American citizens murdered under protection of our laws. So what we're doing now is what we've done is we have over 3,500 pro-life laws in America that seem to be good, that get Republicans voted over and over again, that raise a lot of money, but are not slowing it down at all. What's actually happening is every one of these pro-life bills, all 3,500 of them, determine when, where, and how you can legally murder a baby. So as long as you do this, as long as you check for a heartbeat, then you can murder a baby. As long as you do an ultrasound, then you can murder a baby. As long as you wait 72 hours and you read a pamphlet and you're educated that this is a human being in your body.
With a heartbeat.
With a heartbeat, then you can murder the baby. So moving literally from first to second degree is now you've premeditated it because you've had 72 hours to meditate on the fact that you have a living human being in your body, and now you're going to go ahead and kill it anyways. So this is the cycle that we've gotten into, a 48-year-old cycle of making negotiations with demonic principalities and just saying, we want to murder babies. And so we're chipping away at it, but the reality is we're not even chipping away about it. The abortion industry is growing. Oklahoma, where I'm from, we had three killing centers, death camps, and now we just added two more in the last 2 months. This is apparently the most pro-life state in the union. We've added two more killing centers. We went from 25 to 30 a day to 35 to 40 babies a day in our state. And so the reality is very simple. What we're doing is
40 murders a day.
40 murders a day under the protection of law. Now, those sound like big numbers, but I'm from actually a relatively small state. So we see about 6,000 abortions a year. So that's 6,000 Oklahoma citizens, American citizens, that are murdered under the protection of law. But if you go over to a state like Florida, you're talking about 74,000 a year. So this is where we're at. This is where helping the population understand this. They can go to our website, learn more. They can go to AFS, so abortionfreestates.life, to learn more about what we're doing. We've taken a biblical worldview on the issue and saying, guys, if we're ever going to end this, we have to get back to biblical principles. And so, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. Well, what we've done in the pro-life movement for 48 years is we've done everything under the sun except the one thing that God calls us to do, which is turn. Stop killing babies. So we said, well, you can kill a baby if you do this. You can kill a baby if you do this. Now imagine if we applied that to any other issue in the world. Like, you can only, you know, let's just talk about this. Let's say two people are married. Honey, I'm not cheating on you 7 days a week. I only cheat on you on Monday and Tuesdays. Isn't that okay? So it's just crazy, the ideologies that are there. So we're just calling the body of Christ to come back to a biblical worldview, to address abortion as it is, and to end it completely and totally.
Now, what are some of the what are some of the accolades you're receiving from politicians or people that are able to?
Right. So we now have legislation in 17 different states that have now said, hey, we agree with this. This is a biblical standard. We want to come in agreement with this. But their colleagues, primarily we're talking Republican pro-life leaders, are adamantly against this. They don't even want to go into the fight. And so, you know, a lot of people would think this is strange. It will cost them their political careers. And so if you'll remember a few years ago, I believe it was North Carolina, the NFL said, hey, we're going to allow women to go into male restrooms and males to go into women's restroom. Anybody can go into any restroom. North Carolina said, not so. You're not going to do that here. And the NFL said, well, then we're not going to come and play in your state anymore. So here's one of your biggest money makers. Here's one of your NFL stadiums that produces tons of money, tons of jobs. And now the NFL is saying, we're not going to play in your state. So the reality is everyone says, hey, we want to end abortion. But what happens when you actually have the first abortion-free state in the union and all of these mega money brokers, whether it's the sports industry or the entertainment industry or the Chamber of Commerce comes in, Oklahoma, we're real in, when our largest towers are our oil field companies. So what do they do when you say, you guys are taking away women's rights, you're affecting women's health care, you're you know, we're leaving Oklahoma. So these are the people that are the biggest financial donors, and all of a sudden they just yank the chain of their elected officials, and they say, no, you can't do that. So then they'll make every excuse up under the sun. They'll say things like, well, we can't do it because the Supreme Court told us that we can't do it. This is the law. Well, the reality is the Supreme Court is not the legislative branch of the government that writes law. They are the judicial. They make court opinions. So Roe v. Wade is not law. Matter of fact, even crazy Joe Biden said recently that we need to make Roe codified into law through Congress. He said, because the ball keeps going back and forth, back and forth. He said, it's not law. So what we're doing is, the reality is, every state is a sovereign state. Every state has 10th Amendment rights. So those powers that have not been given to the federal government are reserved for the states. And so the same way that Wisconsin said, hey, listen, if a black man, woman, or child can make it within our borders, they will be free. We're just saying, let's take the same principles and saying, in our state, within our borders, we're not going to murder babies. Now, if another state wants to murder babies, that's their prerogative. But we were going to say, within our borders, we're not going to do this. And they say, Daniel, that's impossible. You can't defy the Supreme Court. It's called nullification.
Sure you can.
And we do it all the time. So marijuana is a big one. A few years ago, I think it was Colorado was the first state, and they said, hey, we want to smoke pot. Well, marijuana is, according to Supreme Court and Congress, a federally illegal substance. So these are two of the three. Marijuana says, pound sand, we're going to smoke pot here. Now you have many states throughout the union. Oklahoma, we grow it, we produce it, we turn it into tons of different kinds of, you can eat it, drink it, all kinds of stuff. And so the question is, like, if we can defy the Supreme Court if and Congress to smoke pot, two of the three, can we not defy one, which is just a court opinion, to stop murdering babies? And I think the answer is a very clear yes.
Daniel, how long have you been fighting this fight?
So we've been working on this fight particularly for about 5 years now.
Okay, and what got you involved in it?
So my involvement, I started working with a gubernatorial candidate, Dan Fisher, who's a pastor out of Oklahoma, and was actually the first one to introduce this idea to me, the understanding of, guys, we're just compromising with this over and over and over, and went on as far to say he was a former representative in the House in Oklahoma. And literally, when he made this statement, it blew me away. He said, I repent for writing, co-authoring, and voting for pro-life laws. That blew me away, because here I am. I've been a pastor since I was 14 years old, traveled to 21 different nations around the world. Every year we talk about being pro-life. Every year we talk about that this is what we need to do. We celebrate pro-life laws without even reading them. So, for example, we have a bill in Oklahoma called the Hinge Law. And so I know we're doing an audio, so I'll try to be descriptive so people can get a visual of what I'm talking about. So the Hinge Law says that you can't use a hinged instrument like pliers, because sometimes the head is too large to remove. But you can use a high-powered vacuum. That's a pro-life law. So what's the difference between a hinged instrument and a high-powered vacuum? The baby's still getting murdered. He's still getting mangled up, or she. They're getting destroyed in the most sacred place in the entire universe. So whenever Dan Fisher, Pastor Dan Fisher, said, guys, I am sorry, I repent for signing my name to this stuff, because every one of these pro-life bills simply determine when, where, and how a baby can be murdered, I was elected to end abortion, not play games with it. So now we've been working with candidates across the nation that are now running not as pro-lifers but as abolitionists, and saying we're going to be like the abolitionists of the 1800s, and we're going to say no. We're going to take a biblical worldview on this issue. Jackson Lawmeyer, who's, you may have interviewed him today, is running on the same platform. Running on the same platform. When you go to his website, you'll find that he says, I believe in Oklahoma's constitutional right to nullify the unconstitutional Roe v. Wade. We have the authority to do it. And so this is what got me involved in the very beginning. And I thought, I mean, at first I thought we were just another pro-life group. Sure, I have no problem signing up to that. And then I realized that it wasn't the pro-choicers keeping abortion legal in Oklahoma. It was the pro-lifers. You know, in Oklahoma, we have pro-life Republican governor, pro-life Republican lieutenant governor, attorney generals, all of our Senate, supermajority, Senate and House Republicans, our sheriffs, everyone and their dog is Republican, okay? Why can't we end abortion? The fact of the matter is, because we don't want to end abortion. And so this becomes hard for them, because everyone has been able to hide behind, I'm doing the best that I can, but here's Roe. And it just didn't allow me to really do what I really want to do. But if I could, I would. And the fact of the matter is, now they're being exposed. Many of the politicians are being exposed. It'll cost them their biggest donors. Also, some of the biggest donors you'll find out are also pharmaceutical industries. So these are the same people that are creating the abortifacient drugs. They're the same people that are providing the acid that burns a baby to death over a period of about 3 to 5 days in its mother's womb. This is their big moneymaker. So they're also the biggest donors to our legislators, both state and federal. So there is a lot of personal interest and self-interest in this. So there's a lot of exposure that's going on, and what we're finding is those legislators that are taking a biblical worldview and unwilling to compromise on those are saying, I see it, the light bulb's on, and I'm not supporting it. So literally in Oklahoma, this last year, we have two abolitionist senators, Senator Jake Merrick and Warren Hamilton. Six pro-life bills are on the table. And in Oklahoma history, this is the first time in Oklahoma history that two Republican senators said, we will not vote to support these pro-life bills. Now, the pro-life industry sent out emails and said, these guys are worse than Democrats. They're pro-choice. So they went out and did live streams and said, no, you guys hired us to end abortion, and we took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. These bills do not provide equal protection and equal justice to all Oklahomans, including those in the womb. So we've refused to negotiate with the most innocent and defenseless with us. So we're seeing a huge tide change throughout the nation. So it's exciting. The light bulb's coming on. There's an exposure that's taking place. I think it's the same thing that we've seen in the last couple of years in our nation through Donald Trump. He has exposed, you know, so much of, you know, the industry, corruption. The corruption, the deep state. Everyone's like, oh, we're all Republicans. No, we're not. You know, everyone that wears a MAGA head is not on your side.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're seeing the same thing. Everyone that says I'm pro-life, everyone that says I'm for life are not really for that. The question is, many of them are in it for money, and other have other personal issues of why they're personally opposed to it.
Daniel, speak a little bit about your view of the nation. What's happening in the nation overall outside of abortion? How do you feel about the nation?
I feel right now I'm very excited about the future. 2020 really revealed something. You know, if you ever take that bottle, that plastic bottle, and you squeeze it, what's on the inside of it comes out. In 2020, with the pandemic and everything that happened, when you squeeze that bottle, for the majority of Americans, majority of Christians, what came out of that bottle was fear. We didn't know how to respond. We ran in circles like chickens with our heads cut off. Didn't know what to do. But now that dust has settled, and now we've realized, like, oh, this is a joke. This is a pandemic. This is a scandemic. The virus was planned. The vaccines. You know, all of this isn't what it is. So it's kind of like being in a boxing match. You get punched in the nose once, you'll begin learning how to block. And I think what's happening across the nation, even for this conference particularly, and we saw 11,000 people come out to Tampa, Florida. We had 4,500 people come out to the Awaken Conference, Reawaken America Conference in Tulsa. Massive people are turning out because they've now come out of the darkness. Their eyes are being opened, and they won't get hit in the nose anymore. So now they've come out of this sleeping stage. They're awake. And now we're seeing as people are saying, okay, I'm ready to get in the fight. Like, put me in the ring and I want to fight. And they're getting involved. And what's happening is we're seeing a movement of grassroots like we've never seen before. They're not waiting on the Republican Party to do it. They're not waiting for a different group. They're like, no, we're going to go and we're going to do it. So that gives me a lot of hope and a lot of excitement, because we're in a season of, prophetically speaking, I think we're in a season of illumination. God is shining a very bright light on America. I believe America is a city on a hill. We've sent out more missionaries and more humanitarian efforts around the world than any other nation in the world. So there is a huge attack, a communist agenda, demonic agenda to come in and to put out the light of America. But I believe very strongly that Americans are waking up.
Let's take vaccinations for example, Daniel, and recently the president, who we're told is the rightfully elected president, and some people disagree with that. Take a guy like Joe Biden, who's been a swamp creature now for four decades.
Sure.
And he's saying that that the people that are unvaccinated are a threat and are killing the other people that are vaccinated.
Right.
I think he recently said that either yesterday or 2 days ago. So we're looking at somewhere coming up on, at least these are the numbers we're told, 70% of Americans vaccinated. It seems to be that Biden is bent on vaccinating the other 30%. And those that are not vaccinated are then a threat to the rest.
Exactly.
And he's now organizing what looks like a door-to-door hand-knocking count slash what would be contact tracers to get those people vaccinated. Why is he so adamant about getting people vaccinated?
Right. So this, again, to me, it has everything to do with a government-ran communist agenda. I mean, this is equivalent. We actually, if you go out to our booth outside, you'll see that we have signs there that says, stop, no trespassing. If you're here to talk about the vaccine, if you're here to talk, we've actually made this our church. This is on our church website. We've made this available for our people to be able to go to the website, purchase it, have it at their home within 2 days. Our sheriff in Oklahoma, Logan County, has said if any federal agent comes onto your property to talk about the vaccine, just call us and we'll have them removed or arrested. And so we have to work with our sheriffs. But this is, I mean, what we're doing, going door to door, is equivalent to what happened in Nazi Germany. We're going door to door and people are saying, hey, are there any Jews in your home? Have you seen a Jew? Do you know anyone else that's hiding Jews? This is the same equivalent. What's happening is like, hey, is everybody vaccinated in your home? Do you know if, are your neighbors vaccinated? Do you know, is there many? So this is the craziness that's going on. And so, you know, there may be those that may say, well, Daniel, you're just a real conspiracy theorist. I believe very strongly then that what is in this shot, I don't even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. If anything, it's DNA therapy. But I think there's a lot more to this shot that is there. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I believe there is a crypto that is connected to this shot to be able to move people, to be able to track people. And so all of these different things, there's much more that's here. This isn't about health of people. When you're talking about almost a 99%
survival rate,
why are we so hell-bent on, on putting a vaccine in every single person? There's something else here. There's a different agenda that's here. And I think one of the biggest things is we're testing people. How easily can people be controlled? How stupid are they? How ignorant are they? We say jump. Will they jump how high? And, oh, so it just leaves us this small fraction of 30% that aren't compliers. So now all we have to do is focus on weakening and breaking the will of this 30%, and now we own the entire nation. And so to me, again, there's such a larger agenda that's at hand. It's not about health. It's never been about health. And I think people that still hold on to that have a lot to learn.
Daniel, thanks for joining the program, and I appreciate your insight and your availability. Keep up the good work, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.